Today is 15th of May, Wednesday. So, what is the question? How do we know whether we are progressing or not? First of all, the fellow devotees who are close to you, who are not motivated in your relationships, who are selfless and are really real well-wishers of yours, those devotees should feel that you are making progress. And you have to believe in that. So they are your friends. They really wish well for you. The second thing is, your guru should be pleased with you. If your guru is pleased with you, then you should know you are making progress. If you fulfill the order of your Guru Maharaj, and at times when opportunity comes, you ask your Guru Maharaj, "Maharaj, are you happy with me of what I am doing?" And Maharaj will tell you yes or no or whatever he feels. Beyond that, just don't worry about it. And we actually, all of us are given enough guidance in lectures, what is expected out of us. And at most of the times, because of you are very sincere devotee, you also come to know how I am falling, or how I am falling deficient in these things, how I am very short of all these things. You come to know, because of sincerity that you have, Krishna also shows you a mirror. You see, this is what you are. So you have to try and uplift yourself on those issues. As a mother, Guru Maharaj will not keep on instructing you, do this as a mother, do this as a mother and father. Or as a doctor, don't do this, do operation like this. He will not tell you all details. He is giving general guidelines to you. General guidelines of purification and processes of purification. So you have to keep following that sincerely. And Guru Maharaj may tell you, "I am very happy with you," but that doesn't end the story there, also at the same time. You have to keep on doing your services and keep on eternally moment to moment, all the time, keep on attempting to purify yourself. But if fellow devotees around you are happy, pleased, and Guru Maharaj is pleased, and if you have somebody senior to you as a counselor or as a mentor, he is happy with you, you should be happy. It all depends upon your sincerity. If you are happy with their goody-goody talks, then they will tell you goody-goody answer. But if you are really sincere, and you are like really in depth asking them, "Prabhu, please tell me, Mataji, please tell me," don't hesitate. If you have to tell anything to me, please tell me. I want to really let myself know whether I am doing well or not. Tell me my faults. Then looking at your readiness, they will come out. If you feel you are not ready, then they will not tell. But they should tell. So we have to be really genuine. And genuinely also we have to ask. And you have to always have at least one person whom you should at least confide, open up, and be open with of everything, and be open to his or her suggestions to you, and don't remain closed. You should be suggestible, meaning if somebody says to you, you should be able to take it. Otherwise the person never will tell you. The person can never tell you because you are not ready for that. So he will or she will always remain goody-goody with you. We have to have at least one, if not more, person like this. And if you are more, you are very wealthy. That's you can at least, many people are there who are close to you, who are selfless, who are not motivated, who are well wishers of yours. If you have more, many of them are there, you are very fortunate and very wealthy. So that you are always protected. And we have to create that one person in our life. It will not be given ready-made to us. You have to create that kind of situation with one person at least. That Prabhu or Mataji, please, ever anything you feel, from you, I can take anything, you tell me. I have full faith that you will be always doing it for my good. Sincerity is what is most important. One may not be making very great advancement, or one may not be highly advanced, or whatever. But if one is sincere, then by Krishna's blessings one will make advancement. Because You may have so many virtues, but if you are not sincere, then all the virtues become nullified by that insincerity. And you may not have many virtues, but if you are very sincere, all your so-called deficiencies also will become wonderful and glorious in future. That means there should be no, sincere means there is no motivation in your activities. When you chant Hare Krishna, there is no motivation that I should be called as advanced, I should be knowledgeable, I should be respectable, I should be this. No, sincere chanting means just to please the Lord. That's all. No other tags to that. Or serving means just to please the servable item, the person. You know? The only reason is that, no, I will serve that great personality, so I will also get good name, ki I served him or served her, you know. I will serve Jamuna Mataji, so I will just jump for that, because Jamuna Mataji is a great personality. My name also will be glorious if I serve her, if I come in the list of her servants. Service means service. Whoever you are asked to serve, you should please that person. He may be an insignificant soul or a great advanced soul. That is the meaning of sincerity. You would always will choose, okay, if only you give me a chance to serve Jamuna Mataji, I will do the service. Otherwise, if you ask me to cook for somebody else, I don't have time. Give me some service like Yamuna Mataji or Malati Mataji. Or if you have that kind of thinking, it's not sincere, no? It's motivated. Some ulterior motivation is there. So, sincerity is defined as activity with no ulterior motivation. There is nothing ulterior in that. It's simply doing the activity as simply as possible. Just straight. You know, it always pays. Always pays. Sincerity, for whatever stage one must be, it always pays. Spiritually enriching benefits are there in sincerity. Hare Krishna. I wish I can be sincere. Yeah, because simplicity is ultimately the goal of life, you know that? To be free from duplicity, to be free from ulterior motivation, is a goal of life. It's not that it's like I already achieved it, you know. It's with me. No, it's a goal. It's a process. It takes long time to be free from ulterior motivation. We are so much attached to our name, fame, and so many other things while doing our service. Even though we are doing spiritual activity, still we are attached to so many things around that, tags around that, you know. We are working accordingly. Oh, I won't do this service. This is not befitting me. I'm not meant for this service. I'm worth this service. I'm not here for this service. You know, this kind of so many thinkings are there because of our previous conditionings. Of course, we should try to do our best where we can offer our best services. We can offer. But at the same time, if things are needed at that particular time to do this, one should not hesitate thinking that it's lowly service. I'm not below my dignity to do that service. You know? You may be doing best in one particular services, but the time is demanding from you to sweep the floor at that time. So you should not say, no, my service is only give lectures. Whatever is needful, one should do. That is what Krishna appreciates. He may have given you the ability to do one thing very nicely and the best way, but he only is demanding at other times some other service from you, one who has given you the ability, whose ability it is anyway, if you are expert in it. And then he only is putting you in a situation where something else is demanded out of you. You should do it. That will take you miles away in Krishna consciousness, miles ahead in Krishna consciousness. When you do a simple menial service, so-called below dignity service, you make tremendous progress by doing the needful at that particular time. When your marriage is at your house and you find something on the road, so some garbage is there, you won't mind immediately sweeping and taking it away because your daughter's marriage, you cannot just wait for phone call, some servant will come. It's your work, so immediately you will do it. Although you are the boss of the function, still you will do it. It's like that. Ownership has to be there. Yes, Prabhuji.
Like the need for appreciation,
need for appreciation. See, appreciation is very much required for ourselves, for us to get encouraged. So there's nothing wrong in needing appreciation. But if you don't get it by natural way, you should practice not to get upset with it. Because the world is such a way designed that you may think that I need to get appreciated for 15 things and today only 5 things I appreciated. What about 10 things which I have done which nobody has even recognized? So if a thought comes to your mind like this, actually there are 15 things which can be appreciated in me, but in the assembly only 5 are appreciated, and you just leave it there only, it is fine. But if you get upset that the 10 things are not appreciated in me and it disturbs you, that means we are in the mode of passion. Your mind will tell you, or even you can notice it, actually there are 10 things more. Mind will tell you that, but you just leave it there only. And more than our need of getting appreciated, we should practice appreciating others. That will satisfy your need of getting appreciated. When you always are practiced or tuned to appreciate others, you feel great satisfaction. Because a person who feels the need of appreciation is always miserly in appreciating others. Because he always wants him to be appreciated by others. And he is not very liberal in appreciating others. When he does that activity, his need of being appreciated becomes less and less and less. And never fail to appreciate. I am also very prompt in correcting my employees, you know. The fault I will immediately tell, first, immediately. Without forgetting, I'll tell first thing in the morning, see, you didn't give paper to this person. He was standing without paper in morning place. But when they give people who don't have paper in their hand, I don't say thank you. But I'll immediately tell if they don't see a person having no paper in hand and unable to recite the prayer and they're not given paper to them, I will see that they come back to office and I'll catch them and tell them you didn't give paper to me. But when they give, I don't tell them every time.
What is this? This is a very, very common thing. This is one thing you mentioned, but this is a day-to-day routine thing that happens in every, whether it is employer, whether it is this thing. We try to find things which are not. But appreciation is taken for granted. But other person don't take it for granted. But it comes to us, we also don't take it for granted. We also demand that, yes, wish somebody
appreciate. So begin with ourselves first, for others. And it will come to you. And probably it's my experience that the world is such a way designed that you will never get appreciated for everything that good you do. This is how the world is designed. You are in the material world, don't you have to forget. The sincerest people who are around you, who love you, who really care for you, who want to really appreciate you, will also fail to appreciate everything that you do nice for them. And sometimes the closest people to you will also talk against you, although you have done all the best for them, which needs appreciation. But for the same thing, they'll talk against also. Because this is material world. Simply, it is like that. The situations in the material world force people to be like this, unconditionally, uncontrollably. So we have to accept the world as it is. Still, as long as we are here, we understand ki this is how it is. We can't expect Vaikuntha atmosphere here unless we create the Vaikuntha atmosphere within ourselves first. What is Vaikuntha atmosphere? Appreciation, serving others, love, care, attention. No? The Vaikuntha atmosphere. No criticism. Loving relationships, serving others, looking for serving others. That is Vaikuntha atmosphere. So, you expect her to be Vaikuntha atmosphere with me. But am I in Vaikuntha atmosphere for her in the beginning? Then it won't be like that, no? It's not impossible, by the way. It is possible by spiritual power, purity to create a Vaikuntha atmosphere among some devotees with in relationships. It's possible. It's not impossible, because spiritual things are not depending on material things in one's true sense, in absolute sense, theoretical sense, in philosophical sense. Spiritual things don't depend upon material environment. Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion that spiritual activity, spiritual atmosphere is independent of material elements. But that is an absolute platform. The relative platform, you have to struggle to create that. And to create Vaikuntha atmosphere amongst us means tolerance. As I tolerate your deficiency, you tolerate my deficiency, and give priority to love and care for one another. And the Vaikuntha atmosphere comes. Here Vaikuntha atmosphere means a lot of tolerance has to be there and patience has to be there. There Vaikuntha atmosphere is natural. You don't have to struggle to overlook your fault, you do not struggle to overlook your offenses to me and unwanted things that you do to me. I don't want to struggle for that. There is natural, it's not going to happen to you and to me both, because you are in such an atmosphere that only pure spiritual activities are going to be invoked from your soul. That is Vaikuntha.
You mentioned sometime also that somebody is not finding fault with you, somebody is not telling you what is wrong, and it's a difficult situation.
But have you created that ease in the person to tell you? See, you have to create an atmosphere for that person to tell. He may be having 15 things to tell you, but he wants to tell you only when you are ready for that, no? You create that space for him to tell. You can create the confidence in that person, ki I will tell and it will not backfire on me. Then he will tell. So as I said in the beginning only, you have to create that minimum one person, if not more. You have to create it. There are many people ready to tell you many things, but they don't tell because they don't feel confident that you will take it in that way. That's why you have to create the atmosphere wherein somebody will feel comfortable in telling you what he has to tell you and doesn't get a setback or fire back from you after telling that. Then he will never tell again, no?
At the same time, is it not the responsibility of the other person being senior or just looking at that?
No, if even by external sense, for example, technically, if there is a relationship of counselor and a counselee, or mentor and a mentee, or a shiksha guru and a shiksha disciple, even externally it has to be there on paper, then the responsibility can be taken by a senior person. But if nothing of sort, if I go to South Africa in Durban, I am nobody there. I am nobody's counselor, nobody's mentor, nobody's guru, nobody's nothing. I am just a visitor. And I can't start instructing people or telling people this is a mistake you did, this is a mistake you did. I am nobody there. I have to be empowered also myself by technical position. Then I can tell.
For example, in our hospital and situation, so we have the hierarchy.
But that is administrative hierarchy. It's not a spiritual hierarchy, no?
Right.
Spiritual hierarchy you have to create. For yourself.
Then the fault is with us. Not
I said in the beginning only, I made the beginning statement only. That person you have to create for you. This person, I myself submit to myself. Prabhuji, I have respect for you. You are senior to me. I really request you from today onwards, please tell me. Whenever you feel appropriate, tell me. How do I make progress and what are the faults that you have seen in me? I will not mind. You have to tell. Or there has to be a system only. You are somebody's counselee and somebody's counselor already there upon you. Or I am a counselor but I have somebody else in my mind who I approach out all time and discuss my things. However big one becomes, he has to have somebody for him to protect himself. And the higher you become, the lesser number are there above you. Difficult for you. No more choices for you to choose from. So, the more years you spend in Krishna consciousness, the dangerous it becomes. Because upper range becomes narrow and lower range becomes very big. Followers become large and your peers are very few in number. Reducing number is there in that. Increasing number in followers and reducing numbers in peers. That is the predicament of a senior devotee. And he's very happy with it. You know. He's enjoying this position. It's very blissful in that situation of respect, honor, and you know, whatever seva he gets. He's very happy about it. It's a very precarious situation. But at any given moment of time, you have to create, as you said, in hospital, material hierarchy will be always there in place. Reporting authority, line of hierarchy, line of authority, everything will be there. But spiritually, you have to create yourself.
Do they have the medicine also? They don't have it. That means they don't have a responsibility to mention Prabhuji if they are doing anything wrong or seeing a person.
But have you ever told that, Prabhuji, I will be ready to take from you?
Is it not implied?
No, no, no. Implied? How
can it be
implied? How can it be implied?
For example, in a family, an elder brother has, if an elder brother corrects the younger brother, and the younger brother says, I know, why are you saying it like this? So then the elder brother, though he has the authority, though he has the relationship, but
he's not empowered enough.
If this is the way it is taken, then he will say that, I will not correct. So in the same way, that is when they are blood relations. But in this hierarchy, if the other person doesn't have confidence, I correct the other person for their benefit, but if they just react in any way, and then I myself...
Say, this is practical. Both of you have come from Australia. Okay, we didn't know you. You have come, last 1 year only you are here. You are introduced to us. How can, just by the number of years, anybody can say, okay, today onwards, I will take care of you. And if anything happens, I will let you know. No, it's not, it doesn't happen like that. Who approaches? A disciple approaches Guru. Guru doesn't come hunting you. Hey, take diksha from me. To become my disciple. No, no, sir. You, Tadvidhi Pranipatana, the disciple has to approach a guru and say, I surrender to you. Please take care of me. Then the guru chooses to accept it, accept him or her. What is the process ultimately? So at all different levels, the same thing follows. One has to find a senior authority or a shiksha guru, guiding authority for oneself on his own.
Why I am asking for the senior person is actually seeing.
Yeah, but you have to create a confidence in that senior person to tell you, no?
No, automatically, right. But is it not for the benefit of the other person?
Again, he will like to tell for benefit of you, but he is not sure how you will react, Prabhu. Unless you are committing yourself, ki Prabhuji, don't worry. You tell me anytime, whatever. You feel that, create the confident situation in the senior's mind. Ki anytime, Prabhuji, wherever you tell, I will take it nicely. Plus do tell me, Prabhuji or Mataji. You have to say that yourself.
If that sort of atmosphere is not there in our hospital, then it is not different from
me. So, every so-called junior person should be in that consciousness to tell a senior, okay, I want to be under your care. All seniors cannot be running after juniors to tell them, ki, hey, you be under me, hey, you under me, I will take care of you, I am senior to you, I am here for 10, 25 years, why don't you be under me? You don't want to be under anybody. You want to be independent. Then you can't go and hunt them. So, ultimately, whose responsibility it is to make advancement in Krishna consciousness?
That is individuals.
Yeah. So, we have to find ways and means to make the advancement. Even after we take diksha from a guru, he is technically responsible for you. But you have to make your own progress by the mercy of Guru Maharaj. You can't keep blaming. What is he doing? He is in Australia all the time. What about me here in Timbuktu? I am staying here alone. Huh? He has given diksha and he has gone away. I am here in Timbuktu suffering alone here. What is he doing for me? You can't ever say that. The fact that he has accepted you as a disciple, you have to run behind him. Ami to kangala Krishna Krishna bori dhaye tava pache pache. That is the disciple's mood. It's not a guru, please run behind me. I am running this way. Now you have accepted me, now you run behind me, I am going that way. The guru is not running behind the disciple. Disciple has to run behind the guru. It's like that. And probably how anybody will know what you are thinking. If you are thinking that I am ready to be corrected by any of these people. Suppose there are 8 people. If you think that all these 8 people, I am always ready to be corrected by them. I have so much respect for them. But you have never spelled out to them. They are not like Siddhas, no? They read your mind and start correcting you immediately. They have the power to read your mind. They have done some Siddhi. But they need to be told. Prabhus, I have respect for you.
That
shouldn't be a problem. Huh? But have you ever said these things verbally, clear cut to anybody? No, Mataji, there are so many people over here who don't like to be corrected by anybody, who are devotees many, many years.
For the material, let's take it as where are the institutions learning? If there is anything, it is so straightforward and clean.
That is administrative, it's not spiritual.
Whatever, like in the day to day our dealings, whether it is talking to your patient, whether it is dealing to a colleague, whether it is dealing. So, in that, as soon as the senior person, the in charge of the unit or whatever, so he will immediately call up and then talk to us and say, yes.
Okay.
And this is how.
That is going on here, but there is so much rebellion still is going on also at the same time. When we call in private and correct, so much rebellion argument is there for that also. Devotees. There are all kinds of devotees. So, if I tell you something and now you are in good mood, so you are saying, Prabhuji, tell me. And tomorrow I tell something to you and really hurts you when you start feeling bad or you start arguing, then I will go behind now, one step or not. So it's unpredictable. So there has to be what happens with Guru Maharaj, for example? We are unconditionally open to Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, you may tell, I'm a rascal, I'm okay, please tell me I'm a rascal. But you are not like that with everybody in the world. You can take that word as you are a rascal only from one person, that is Guru Maharaj. He can say anything to you. But if you are really in that mood, then we have to create that platform for somebody else apart from Guru. The Guru is in Australia, for example, he is not available here. Then you have to create that platform with somebody else. Prabhuji, you are like my Guru only. Please, when he is not there, I take you as his representative. And you tell me anything, Prabhuji, I am okay with you. You tell one, two, some people you tell. Then you see, there will be no hesitation. Because in telling, that person has no motivation, Prabhuji. He has nothing to gain from you. He tells you that, Prabhu, it looks like you are very angry these days. You are too angry and too volatile. What is his gain in that by telling you? He is a selfless telling you. So you have to take it that way only. He is my well-wisher. So he is telling me selfishly. He doesn't want to show his position to me by telling this to me. He is my well-wisher. That faith you have to create in that person's mind. And for that, you have to work. Not he, on you. Please understand this.
That is understood. Yeah. What I am saying is that, like, as a senior, this is also implied that, yes, for the junior, that whether they take it or not, but they need to give them the guidance.
Administratively, yes. Administratively, we will keep doing that. But spiritually, yes, spiritual life is not a technical thing. Spiritual life is a matter of heart. Spiritual life is all unpaid services, actually speaking. Is that right?
And nobody will like to be backfired. The so-called senior will not like to be backfired that I am correcting somebody selflessly and the other person just reacts in a...
Maybe you are not understanding the mood. Hmm. Maybe that backfire has been more than what it is. That could be the way you work.
Like that. Whatever set of experiences we have is like this. So we will have to be very cautious and intelligent about it. And even amongst the counselor and a counselees, the level of relationship with each counselee is different depending on their status of their mind. You know, they are all in my group, so you know I can tell anything to anybody in an equal way. No, it's not true. Somebody has come new, somebody is 15 years with me, somebody is like household relationship is there. Amongst the counselors, the same thing is there. Some people we are very free to tell anything what we want. Some people we are to calculate and see and speak in a very thinking properly, you have to speak and convey the message. So although we are technically in a position of giving service to the counselee, still, so some people we are absolutely free and some people we are very calculative and very thoughtful about conveying, because we know that here the obedience is not so much, here there is 100%. So within the administrative parameters also, there are differences of levels of relationships with each other. And we have to grow in that relationships. Today, if it is on that relationship, it should not remain in there only. Over the period of time, your association with the person, it has to grow for a positive improvement in that. Somebody has joined my group 1 month back. and somebody is there 15 years with me. There is bound to be difference, no? Because 15 years of association will give that ease and comfort of discussions and opening up hearts and all. So, as a counselor, as a senior devotee, we have to create that atmosphere amongst our counselees of Goya Makhyati Pruchchabi by building up relationships. Again, it is not one-sided. It has to be both-sided. I may extend, but you will not accept. It's possible, no? It's always possible. So, a counselor should always see in a given level of relationship that I have, still how can I serve my best in the counseling? In the given situation, in the given situation of percentage of obedience or percentage of comfort that I have, how can I serve that counseling in the best possible way? That should be the counselor's mood. Ultimately, it's service only. Guru also is serving only his disciples. He never thinks I am master of the disciples. He says, I am servant of my disciples. I am just serving in the capacity of Guru. That's the only thing. But service is mandatory. But the onus of spiritual progress lies upon us. That is a conclusive message. Mercy always is there, but endeavor is on your side. Right? Mercy will come only when the endeavor is 100%, mercy will come. Mercy is always there. It is unmanifest or unavailable, it is because endeavor is 100%. When the endeavor is 100% from all sides, mercy flows immediately. And that is totally our prerogative. So you submit yourself to somebody and then you will see that you will be always benefited. But people sometimes very intelligently don't want to submit to people. So they feel that I'll be hooked or I'll be controlled. I don't want to be.
But spiritual life is all about being controlled and being guided and directed.
It's good to speak about it. Very good to sweet to speak, discuss these things. On a practical level, one is a great austerity within oneself to be on that platform. My experience is that my peers, they're very close to me. But some things, at some times when they tell me, I don't like it. Although 25 years we are together. But some things somebody tells, sometimes I don't like it. Even after so many relationships, so many years of depth of relationships. Because the pride is still there, no? Pride is still there in a big size inside, you know, obstructing the path. It is there. Like somebody told me, you are always, you require much more appreciation than what the matter deserves. So I felt very hurt about it. So now I will not expect anything from this person. Immediately the answer came from mind. But that person has appreciated me so many times in future, what about that? So one line after so many years, the person said, you look to be very disproportionately desiring appreciation. It looks like you desire appreciation much, much more than what can be given to you. So it's like, you know, my mind, egoistic mind told me, bas, I will never ask anything from this person again. Then I was thinking, Are, what about all that appreciation that he gave me in the past? That all got waste. Because this time he could not give. Maybe he was tired. He was himself tired actually.
The standard has been changed for you. Because the has been seeing you. But your level is not here. Your level is here. And and then that is already understood that they, okay, we don't need to say good. You have been good. This is your level. So then after some time what happens, and if those things doesn't happen, that somebody is not saying good things and all, they take it for granted that you were always good this way. And then you start looking for it. Nobody is saying anything. What is happening?
Because the fact is that at all stages, everyone needs appreciation. Yes. That is the fact. Even Lord Vishnu needs appreciation, you know that? When Hiranyaksha said something to Hiranyaksha said something to Varadev, Varadev got morose. You read Bhagavatam. Varada felt very depressed by the harsh words of Hiranyaksha that he uttered against Varadev. Because we don't forget that Varadi also is a human, I mean, personality, a person, not human being, is a person. By nature, even Varadev is a supreme, but he is a person, don't forget that. He's a supreme person, but he is a person. He has emotions, he has feelings, he has liking, dislikings. Although he's a Lord, he's supremely, he is in position of liking, disliking and having feelings. The most pure person he is. So he also has emotions and person feelings. So he also may feel depressed when a person like Hiranyaksha says something very harsh. So what to speak of you and me? The Lord is only exhibiting that we should not fail to understand that we are people. We should not forget that. This Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, na? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he would meet Radhanath Swami. Meet Radhanath Swami. And he would be very spiritual, very blissful, crying tears of loving exchange. And so Radhanath Maharaj will leave and go to his room. Then he'll start demanding things from his disciples, you know. Give me this, give me that. Guru Maharaj, this is not even a diet, Guru Maharaj. No, give me this. So they would be in confusion. They asked one day, Maharaj, it's very difficult to handle Guru Maharaj in these situations. So Maharaj said a simple line to them. He said, he may be Guru to you, but don't forget he's a human being, he's a person. Don't forget that you put him on a pedestal and then expect things from that pedestal from him. But he's our Guru, how can he behave like this? Like, you know, this Ramchandra Khan, Puri went to Madhvacharya, Madhavendra Puri and said, "Hey, you should be thinking about Krishna at this time, why are you crying like this?" So he said, get lost from this, you know, because he is a person, he has his own personal feelings to Krishna at that moment. He has to have the freedom to express the way he wants. I said, "Hey, this person is asking a pizza at the moment of death. What kind of a guru is this? I didn't expect my guru to ask pizza at the moment of death." But so what? He's a human being. He isn't asking for chicken or meat to you. If he has pizza, what's wrong in that? So, what generally we do is we have a preconceived idea of a personality. He is advanced, or he is guru, or he is a counselor, or he is a great devotee, or he is the most advanced devotee. How can he do this? But do not forget that he also is a human being. He also has scope to make mistakes, and he also has right to be corrected, right to be absorbed and accepted the way he is in the given situation. Like that. So very beautifully he explained to Ekvira Prabhu and...
What else?
He said he's a human being. So treat him as a human being first. He has emotions. And he's the last stage of life. So many heightened emotion may be there, no? See, you may be ultimately you may die as a guru, but ultimately you are dying as a soul first, then dying as a guru. So all the life he has struggled to be exemplary to in front of his disciples. Now he is facing his death, the last exam for all things that he has done. He has served his disciples as guru, and he has served his as temple presidents, and so many roles he has played. But now, he is facing the death as what? As first, as a soul, na? And then he may have so much of ups and downs of emotions may be there. Last snares of tests may be there for him, last maybe struggles are there. So let him be natural, no? Why he has to put a facade in front of you? Just because he is your guru and he is in last phase and he has to be exemplary. Let him be natural, the way he is. Why he should be the way you think he should be? You have your preconceived ideas about him, and you are expecting him to behave in that particular way because you think it like that. But it is not like that. We are preconceived, you know, about many things. This is how we think about it. This is how I want it. I have seen Radhanath Maharaj, you know, so much morose and emotionally depressed. Because when Kirtanananda Maharaj was his peer, no, was his guru, I mean, almost as a guru only. He was like a senior most person in ISKCON at one time. He was Tamalakrishna Maharaj told me personally that he was so senior, he was too senior to be corrected by anybody. He was in that position. To Tamalakrishna Maharaj also, he was senior. Tamalakrishna Maharaj is supposed to be one of the most senior post people in ISKCON. But Tamalakrishna Maharaj told us in 2000 here in the hospital that Kirtananda Maharaj was too senior to be told anything. And that personality was already a sannyasi and the topmost line is gone. And Radha Swami joined as a simple, humble brahmachari somewhere. And Kirtananda Maharaj groomed him as a upcoming, budding brahmachari devotee, new devotee, and trained him, at times fired him, scolded him, this, that, whatever. Molded him. Then gave him sannyas also. Then sent him to preach also. So many things. Maharaj progressed. And then Kirtananda Maharaj had a problem. And then he had to leave ISKCON. And you know, many things happened. And then he was out of ISKCON. And then many years passed by. And one fine day Kirtananda Maharaj died. And we all were in Vrindavan. So Maharaj was so sad, you know. Because his guru, Shiksha guru died actually. So sad actually. And then he was out of ISKCON, so he could not even go and see him also, because it would be a problem if you go to see a person. So then Gopalakrishna Maharaj almost forced him that you please come. ISKCON is a worldwide institution. Anyways, we'll not go into that. So then Gopalakrishna Maharaj said, Panchakoda Prabhu, yourself, myself, let us go and at least offer flower garland and come. So then he went and they all went. But it was not so simple as offering garland and coming back. It was not as simple as that. It was very complicated. Next day came on internet. Then Gopalakrishna Maharaj, Radhanath Maharaj and Bhima Prabhu and Panchakoda Prabhu went to see Kirtananda Maharaj. How can they do this? Kirtananda Maharaj is an expert person. He's not supposed to be ISKCON. Why they are going to go? And then he forced him to go and he forced him to go. All this kind of discussions came on internet. So these gurus have to be very careful, you know. They do something which is sort of hard, but people still criticize them. So Maharaj, he said that I was anyway in pain. And I went there and I saw the mess over there. The mess was like that the person was so glorious once upon a time. Today's situation was such that his body was lying on the road and there was no place. Everybody is saying, "Yahan mat rakho, take it over there." So they are just moving the body from place to place. Then they keep one place and the people say, "Why are you keeping dead body over here? Don't keep it over there, take it away from here." And they don't have any place to bury his body, no place is decided by anybody. There's conflict between the disciples, so-called disciples existing. So Maharaj came back and I was serving him dinner. So much of pain. He said, "I am feeling so bad today that anyway we lost him. I wanted to express my heart and my gratitude to him. I couldn't meet him. He was in Thane, you know, he was Thane in Jupiter Hospital. And somehow Maharaj just planning just didn't occur only finally. Finally Maharaj had to go to Vrindavanatra and then he died in Jupiter Hospital here. And then his body was brought Thane. And I have personally witnessed for few days, not one day, how Radhana Swami was undergoing emotional situation, you know. And just because I was one of the disciples of Kirtananda Maharaj in the past, Radhananda Maharaj could share with me that what he had felt. Because we are in that group of disciples of me, Dwarkadish, Madhavananda, Giriraj, everybody is his disciple, Kirtananda Maharaj's disciple. Yes, we were all disciples of Kirtananda Maharaj. So we have all gone through the situation with Radhana Swami and everything. So what agony he had in heart, we could relate to that. Okay? And I could see that so many days he was in that emotional turmoil while giving classes in the evening in Yatra to 5,000 people, you know. We were discussing that situation constantly. So I should not think, "Hey, what kind of guru is this? He's like me only, he's an ordinary person." The way I think, he also thinks. The way I feel bad, he also feels bad. What is great in him that I don't have that greatness? If I start thinking like that, then I am a foolish person. I have to know he is a person, he is a human being. Before becoming my guru, he is a human being, he is an individual soul. He has his own emotions. You respect that. You can't condemn him. How can my guru be depressed? How can he help me out of my depression if he is himself depressed? You know, so I told this story to you that my Guru Maharaj also I have seen going through that emotional situation, because I have to understand he is a human being, he is a person, he has right to be having those emotions for somebody. He had so much love and respect for him, but due to technical situation in ISKCON, he couldn't go and express his love or whatever he wanted to do with that person. There's so much heavy criticism is going on, you know, around for so many things. But Gopalakrishna Maharaj and Kirtanand Maharaj also were very close in the old days in Juhu temple when we were becoming disciples. The old days, 83, 84, 85. So Gopalakrishna Maharaj felt that I have to go and see him. He's Vrindavan, I'm in Vrindavan, his body is in Vrindavan. I must pay my respects. So then he took up Samsundar's Mahama garland and he went to offer a garland. And then there was a big fight there. You know, there was a big one-to-one argument and all those things. Body was like, you know, how Gaur Kishore Das Babaji died and how the disciples were fighting over the body. Like that, fights were going on about the body. And then, even though they didn't want to participate, but they had to be forced to be participating in that discussion. And then they, in disgust, they left from there. And it took 3 days for finding the place and finally buried the body. So Maharaj told me, ki, look, one time there was so much glory that hundreds of people were moving around with him. Like a flower, he was being taken care of. And he died in a way that there is nobody to even take decision about him. And those who are there, they are also fighting among themselves. It's like that. So this is the power of time. Time, what time can do, one has to see. You know, somehow we were witness of all these things. So we were also like, wow, look at this. The way things happen in the world. Nobody can be sure that I'm on top, I'll be remaining on top only. Nobody can claim that. Anything can happen. Anything, the Maya can just make a monkey out of you. She wants, you know. If Maya feels that it's better for you to become monkey, then he'll make monkey out of you. So only thing is, we have to be simple hearted and sincere. Because at higher stages now, pride plays a bigger role than what is playing in your and my life. Today what the pride is playing role in you and my life, at higher level it plays much, much bigger roles. But we can't imagine. Because what respect you and me are getting today, tell me, compared to the gurus what they are getting. Well, people are putting red carpets and what not they are doing. And if you just one time identify with all these things, let's see, this is all for me. Finished. And who can identify that moment, in that particular moment, when you will think like this? The day we are chanting is not nice, you are somehow diverted here and there, deviated a little bit mentally. And that time you identify for one moment, yes, all this belongs to me. This is all glory to me. Is not a bigger test for them? Such a huge test. Constantly have to say no, no, no to all the great things that are happening to them. And we also have pride and we also feel so much proud about our position. But imagine their position. Thousands of people are following them, mad after them. They have to lay their life for them. So they have a much bigger test. Anything happens in between. Pride comes some way, this way, that way. So to struggle to remain humble and simple hearted and innocent is what is required. And then you don't have to be a big person in the world. Just remain simple hearted. Whatever happens, just remain simple hearted. When they glorify you, just don't believe in them. Just accept the love. Suppose, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj example I give you. He became sannyasi. So it was a very official program. All leaders of the ISKCON were called. Like the protocol is, this temple has to come, this has to come, then the sannyas deciding body has to come. The protocol is there, sannyas committee who decides to be sannyas, sanctioned sannyas, one of them has to be there. It's like that. So all protocols fulfilled and it was like a cross-sectional program of ISKCON in the world. You know, like everybody was there. But the close ones of Radha Govinda temple, they didn't feel satisfied. They felt ki we didn't get enough chance to glorify Maharaj, Bhakti Samad Maharaj. So Radhanand Maharaj, they went to Radhanand Maharaj and told that Maharaj, we didn't feel satisfied. He is our sannyasi, you know, our man, and we want to express our heart So Maharaj said, yeah, this is good. So he, Radhanath Maharaj, next day arranged a program in Krishna Chandra Prabhu's house for inner circle of devotees of Radha Gopinath temple. Those who know Bhakti Swami Maharaj right from his beginning days and who were there and all. So all of us were called. So Bhakti Swami Maharaj said, no, Maharaj, I cannot take all this, you know, because I am a new sannyasi, I just cannot take so much of glories. So Radhanath Maharaj answered in a very beautiful way. He said, just take the love out of it and leave the glory behind. Accept the love. And for accepting that love, you have to sit in that position and listen to their glorifications. But just take the love, don't reject the love. Because love is there, no? Out of love they are glorifying you. Just don't reject that love also, along with glory that you don't want. No. Take the love and reject the glory. Pass on the glory to Krishna. So same thing we have to do. If somebody wants to love you as his master or whatever, you accept it. But don't stick yourself with that glory. Just take that love and pass that glory to your Guru Maharaj immediately. If somebody offers a garland to you, great respect, you know. Some places when I go, na, you cannot imagine, they offer flowers at our feet. Now we tell Brahmaji, don't do this. But no, then they say, Prabhuji, we want to express our heart. So then I don't identify with that, because flowers are for me. This person is, you know, so much respects me. As soon as the flower is given to you, whether at feet or in the neck, immediately say, this is for you, my Guru Maharaj. It's not for me. But that love you accept and reciprocate. You have to do that. You cannot deprive people emotionally by not doing that. Because for them, they don't see Guru Maharaj. They can't see Guru Maharaj. They see only you, and you are guiding them and you are there to help them. And they want to express their heart, and you can't say, no, I don't accept anything. I am renounced. You can't say that. You have to accept. So there is a very beautiful principle. Take the love and pass on the glory to Krishna. This is a beautiful principle. We learned from that event. And then Maharaj, Bhakti Swami Maharaj sat in that event next to Radhanath Swami and heard all the glories, and he knew what is to be done with it. See, the next day of a sannyasi, after sannyas, he has to go undergo this experience, and then he had learned such a lesson. Wow. So then his 50th birthday came, and Belgaum devotees arranged for 3-day program for his birthday. 3-day program. So he accepted it. Others may criticize what kind of sannyasi is, but there are so many people who love. So he has to accept the love. Internally, he has to pass on the glory to Guru and Krishna. So what I am trying to say is, the higher one person in spiritual life, the bigger tests are for him, bigger struggles are for him, of pride and everything. He has to deal with that. So at times the warrior may get wounded by Maya. For a powerful warrior to get wounded by Maya, we should not condemn him for that. You too, we didn't expect from you. No, but he also is fighting with Maya as much as you are fighting with Maya. His battle is much fierce and you are maybe milder. But give him benefit of doubt, na. Suppose he gets wounded, doesn't he get right to heal his wound and again stand back and fight? Why one should condemn him for that? So anybody can become anything by the power of time and Maya. We should be very accommodative. As long as he has faith in the holy name, as long as he loves Krishna still, so what, his ashram is changed, some of what, he has a little fall down here and there. If he is sincere, he should be accommodated. He should be helped out. Won't you like to take a pill from a doctor when you fall sick? Or a doctor should condemn you? What kind of person you are? I told you not to eat pav bhaji, but you eat pav bhaji. Nonsense you are. Yeah, madam, sir. Yes, sir. I understand I ate pav bhaji, but now you cure me. I am sick now. Don't condemn me now. You can condemn me tomorrow after I get well. But today you give medicine, sir, to me. Don't you deserve that? At least you may have made a mistake. You drank panipuri in seashore yesterday. I all agreed. But today I am passing 50 motions, sir. Stop my motions first. I am not well. Do I not deserve to get your kindness in form of medicines to me? So we are very eager to condemn immediately, then helping. and tomorrow that same thing happens to me and you, what do we expect? Help me first. Afterwards, you can condemn me as much as you want, but right now, give me a hand. I need your help. That is maturity. We are very eager to condemn a fallen sannyasi or anybody else. But we don't understand they are human beings. They are as much fighting with Maya as much we are fighting with Maya. Isn't that true? We are all in the battlefield with Maya. Somebody is Senapati, somebody is a soldier on the foot. But all of us are fighting our own battle with Maya. Why should we forget that? And condemn him and condemn him. Oh, you also. So what? So I also have a request to all of you. If tomorrow if you see any problem in me, help me, please. I mean, don't condemn me and you know, don't reject me. You know, I need to be among all of you. And I'm sincerely telling you, I'm not trying to be acting humble. I'm trying to be sincerely because anything can happen tomorrow. We don't know. At the weaker condition of my life, spiritually sometimes I'm weak, something may happen and something may manifest which is untoward. At that time, I need shelter, na? Somebody has to shelter me and protect me and heal me and bring me up again. And that is true with everybody. We have to be kind to all those. We should be kind to seniors, kind to juniors, kind to equals and try to help them in their given situation. And do not condemn and reject them. Okay, Prabhuji? Hare Krishna. Thank you for your kind company and your merciful association. Hare Krishna.